Hello and welcome to Talking.Golf on Wisconsin.Golf. Talking.Golf is a weekly podcast featuring Gary D'Amato and Rob Hernandez. And now, talking all things golf in Wisconsin, here's Gary and Rob. Talking.Golf is presented by the 2023 American Family Insurance Championship in Madison. The 2023 AmFam Championship will be held June 9th through the 11th at University Ridge Golf Course in Madison, Wisconsin. Tyler Hubbard, Maddie and Tay, and Drake White will highlight activities away from the golf course with a concert at Bree Stevens Field on Friday night, June the 9th. That same day, tournament host Steve Stricker and the top golfers on the PGA Tour Champions will tee it up in the opening round of the 7th AmFam Championship. Tickets for the event are on sale now at amfamchampionship.com. Since its debut in 2016, the AmFam Championship has raised $14.8 million for local charities, with proceeds distributed by the Steve Stricker American Family Insurance Foundation. Wherever you may be this Memorial Day weekend, we welcome you to Talking.Golf. I'm Rob Hernandez. He's Gary D'Amato. And tell you what, as we enter the month of June, Gary D'Amato, with the AmFam Championship and the U.S. Senior Open on our calendar, what happened this weekend down at Frisco, Texas, has only whetted the palate for Senior Tour Major Championship Golf. Steve Stricker and Padraig Harrington going extra holes, with Steve Stricker winning his second major of the season. Pretty cool stuff.
Wow, Rob. Yeah, I was transfixed to the TV watching that. It was gripping. It was pretty dramatic. You know, Stricker caught Padraig and then built a two-stroke lead, and then Padraig got it back, went to extra holes, and actually it was one extra hole. And Padraig almost made just a miraculous par after hitting his drive into the junk, and it looked like he shanked that second shot out of the thick stuff into the water. Took a drop and hit a 3-wood from 285 to within closer to the hole, and Stricker hit his third shot with a wedge. But Padraig missed the par putt, and Steve walked away a winner. And boy, what an amazing run he is on.
Well, it was a captivating week. So many different storylines in this one, because we start first with the fact that as a birthday present to youngest daughter, Izzy, he let Izzy caddy for the first time. He hasn't even let Bobby caddy. Bobby, of course, playing now on the Epson Tour. But Izzy got the call this week to caddy for Steve down at Frisco. And I tell you what, as the reigning WIAA Division I state champion, I think her mind was filled with a lot of great knowledge for her senior season this fall, because she was right there front and center. And I actually heard her talking with Steve on certain yardages and things. Not always. I mean, I think Nikki does some of that. Mario Tiziani, when he's on the bag, does some of that. But that's not something that Steve always leans on the caddy for. It was interesting to see him at work with his daughter in this setting.
Yeah, she had the yardage book out on a number of occasions, and they were standing side by side, you know, double-checking their yardages. So Steve obviously trusts her. You know, she's mature, but beyond her years golf-wise, certainly. And it was so cool to see them, you know, have some special moments on the course and then embrace when Steve won. Really cool for her and for him.
The other thing that stood out was at one point during this tournament, it looked like Padraig Harrington was going to run away and hide from the field. I believe it was early Saturday. He had a 6-stroke lead on Stricker before things starting to tighten a little bit. Steve matched Harrington's course record that he had posted the day before and shot his 64 and got himself right back into it. The ebb and flow with these two guys, going back to their time as dueling Ryder Cup captains at Whistling Straits, has really made for an interesting rivalry here on the PGA Tour Champions.
It really has. They play, you know, slightly different games. You know, Padraig is the biggest hitter on the PGA Tour Champions. Tremendous club head speed. You can see when he takes those practice swings, you can just hear the whoosh of his club. And as Peter Jacobson pointed out, Steve Stricker's power is in his wedge. So they play slightly different games, but the result is very similar. They both make a lot of birdies.
And I think that came into play both on the final hole of regulation, where it paid off for Padraig Harrington. He got a great kick off of the back of the green there, just short of the bunker, and it trickled back onto the green, and he two-putted for birdie to force the playoff. And then it came back to haunt him on the playoff hole, where he got too much juice and it kicked into the crap. And like you said, I don't think anybody could have extricated that ball. I was surprised that he was able to, that you know, I guess he, you know, as strong as he is, he could probably have
have chopped it out sideways, but he was going on a pretty aggressive line. And with that downhill stance, I mean, there was no chance of that ball getting out of the hazard. And it was kind of a pseudo shank off to the right, but he knew it. And he was right up to that drop area. And I think he knew how much he had, you know, left there, because I mean, that was right in his wheelhouse with that. I don't know what it was, a 5-wood or a 3-wood, because he just pulverized that to within 15 feet.
Yeah, he nuked that shot. And I think he covered the flag, you know, from 285. And Steve, I think, had 116 and then hit his wedge outside of Padraig's 3-wood or 5-wood. I'm guessing it was a 3-wood, but as strong as he is, it could have been 5-wood, and as amped up as he probably was. But yeah, just an amazing finish to force that playoff.
The other thing is, it was the first major championship held at the new facility down at the PGA National Headquarters in Frisco, Texas. To me, it's set up marvelously for a major championship. I know they've got two PGAs down in the distance and a couple of KMPG women's PGA championships, among other things. I thought it was a brilliant place to host a tournament of this nature, and I think it'll hold its own when the big boys come to town here towards the end of the decade.
Yeah, I think I heard somewhere that they have something like 26 tournaments scheduled there already, and that includes, you know, all levels of PGA of America competition. They're going to be bringing a bunch of stuff there. It's a huge, you know, there's going to be multiple courses there. And of course, it's the headquarters for PGA of America. And this course apparently covers 600 acres. So it's a big, like you said, a big property spread out. Gil Hance was the architect, and it looked great. I mean, it didn't open that long ago. So this was sort of this maiden voyage, and I thought it held up well.
Absolutely did. We should also mention too, Jerry Kelly made the cut, 69-74, but then struggled on the weekend with a pair of 76s. He finishes T-59. Middleton native Derek Stendahl, who's now a club pro up in the Minnesota section, 76-72. He missed the cut, as did Mario Tiziani with a 74-77. I know Mario and his wife Cressy were in the gallery watching Steve today. Bobby Stricker came within a shot of making the cut on the Epson Tour down at Mission Inn Resort, Howie in the Hills, Florida. A busy, busy weekend for the Stricker family. And I can't imagine a more exciting time in Steve Stricker's life. It'll be interesting to read the transcripts and, you know, his comments about finishing this off with Izzy on the bag. But, you know, this going into his month, the AmFam Championship month, boy, what a dizzying pace it's going to be for that family.
Yeah, he's been incredible. I think this was his 49th. I believe it's his 49th consecutive round of par or better on the Champions Tour, which is extends his own record, which he has now held for a while. And they put up a graphic on television that he is ahead of the pace, winning tournaments wise, in his number of starts. He's ahead of Cale Irwin and Bernhard Langer's pace. I think he's won now, is it 14 times in 56 starts, maybe?
I think you're right.
Which is ahead of the pace by the two guys who have won the most tournaments in Champions Tour history. So now Steve's probably not going to play as much as those guys did, but it just goes to show you how good he's been since he turned 50.
That was the good news. The bad news was that Irwin and Langer both played their 55th tournament at age 52, and Stricker's already, what, 56, I think he is.
Yeah.
And at the pace he's on, he'll be 71 by the time he reaches those milestones. But if anybody can do it, Steve Stricker can. And he just is the fountain of youth out there. And as you've written earlier this year, Gary, I think his game's as good as it's ever been.
It sure appears that way. I mean, he may not have quite the length he had, you know, 15 years ago, but he's still long enough. And he's got everything else going for him in his bag. He's still a tremendous wedge player, still one of the best chippers in the world. And you know, I think it was Peter Jacobson maybe on the telecast today who crowned him as one of the best putters in history, which he certainly has been. So he's got every piece of his game working right now, that's for sure.
And of course, it gets Steve into the PGA Championship in 2024. That'll be played at the Valhalla Golf Club in Louisville, Kentucky, a place that he's been before. So, I mean, in theory, you know, he gets to, you know, it's not going to be one of these bomb and gouge courses maybe, or, you know, one that is foreign to him. So I think he's got a lot to look forward to, but we've got a lot to look forward to. I mean, this, these last 2 weeks between the PGA Championship and the Senior PGA have been a celebration of the PGA of America. And you on Friday were at US Senior Open qualifying, which was also a celebration of the PGA of America, because one of our esteemed members of the Wisconsin section, Mick Smith, walks away with medalist honors and leads the two qualifiers, both from Wisconsin, into the U.S. Senior Open at Century World at the end of June into July. So pretty cool stuff you got to see up at Stevens Point Country Club.
Yeah, and actually the other spot went to Brad Lanning, who lives in Hortonville, and Brad's a Class A PGA member too and plays in some section stuff, Rob. So we've got two section members in our state who have qualified. Really cool to see both really good guys. And Mick Smith has been playing some absolutely tremendous golf over the last 2 or 3 years. And Brad Lanning has this amazing resume, Rob. He played at Stanford with Casey Martin and Nota Begay. He, the year before Tiger got there, helped Stanford win an NCAA championship and has played on all the tours except the PGA Tour, I believe, on every tour you can name up to the PGA Tour. So he has a big, long resume, a lot of experience, and lives 45 minutes from Century World. How cool is that? That, you know, just drives up the road and he's playing in the U.S. Senior Open.
That is really cool, and it'll be fun to see them, the two alternates out of the Stevens Point qualifier. Two more PGA section members that have really held their own in recent years, Michael Crowley and Kurt Manila. Mike Murphy, the ageless amateur now living out of Minocqua, came within two shots of qualifying for the U.S. Senior Open. When I saw those scores pouring in there, I thought, boy, oh boy, wouldn't that have been something?
Yeah, I talked to Mike after his round. He was pretty happy, Rob. He was the oldest guy in the field, I believe, at 69 years old. What a story that would have been had he gotten through. But he played a great round of golf.
Yeah, that is awesome. Any thoughts up there? You were in the neighborhood, and then you extended your stay. Played a couple rounds over the weekend at Lake Arrowhead with your buddies on your Memorial Day weekend trip. I have to imagine that there's a level of excitement for a major championship just over a month away.
There is. You know, I've been to Central Wisconsin a couple times this year now, for media day for the U.S. Senior Open and now. And there definitely is a buzz in it in the central region of the state. I talked to Mark Rolfing about that, who was in town a couple of weeks ago. And he said that everywhere he went, people were stopping him and recognized him and wanted to talk about the Senior Open. So there is a lot of excitement going on right now. And I think we're going to hopefully see some really big and enthusiastic galleries at Century World in a few weeks.
And you're mentioning Mark Rolfing reminds me another fun thing about watching Stricker's victory today at the Senior PGA was it was a neat combination of golf announcers. As Dan Hicks said, it was their throwback team with Peter Jacobson up in the tower with Dan, but then Roger Maltby and Jim Bones McKay walking the fairways and Mark Rolfing up, doing holes for him. It was a great combination. I love hearing Bones McKay, but I really love hearing Roger Maltby's voice again.
Yeah, it was great to hear all those guys. They did a great job. I thought the telecast was really good. And Mark, actually, I think he's playing Century World. It must be maybe Tuesday, Rob, because I've got a telephone call with him set up for Wednesday, and he's going to take me through Century World and talk about the holes that, you know, are going to be tough for the Senior Open contestants and the ones that are going to be birdie holes. And he's going to give his general impressions of the course. So I'm looking forward to talking to him about that.
Well, I tell you what, it's a lot of excitement here as we enter the month of June with two PGA Tour Champions events on the calendar, one a major at the end of the month, and a lot of anticipation for it up at Century World. And then, of course, the AmFam Championship, which reminds me to tell you that the AmFam Championship presents Talking.Golf here. The 2023 AmFam Championship will be held June 9th through the 11th at University Ridge Golf Course in Madison. Tyler Hubbard, Maddie and Tay, and Drake White will highlight the activities away from the golf course with a concert at Bree Stevens Field Friday night, June the 9th. That's the same day the tournament gets underway over at U Ridge. Steve Stricker, the newly minted senior PGA champion on the heels of winning the region's tradition. He and all his friends, two-time champion Jerry Kelly of Madison, Mario Tiziani of Madison, all the top golfers in the PGA Tour champions will tee it up in the opening round of the 7th AmFam Championship on June the 9th. It'll run through the 11th. You can get tickets for both the golf tournament and the concert at amfamchampionship.com. Also a big week so far for Steve Stricker's alma mater. I was out to Greyhawk Golf Club in Scottsdale the other day and to watch Pearson Hunt in the opening round of the NCAA championship. He struggled a bit, has continued to struggle here on day three. But his Illinois Fighting Illini continue to put up terrific numbers, 273, 276. And Gary, when I say struggle, it's all relative when you're the nation's third ranked team. Today they counted a 67, a 68, a 70, and a 71, and threw out a 73 from Pearson Hunt, which again had two double bogeys in it. And but yesterday they went 68, 68, 68, 69 in a 273 to vault into the lead. I know that there's a lot of anticipation. This might be the team that Mike Small coaches to a national championship. They are currently three shots up on Pepperdine going into the final round of stroke play tomorrow at Greyhawk. And then, of course, the top eight teams will qualify for the match play portion of the national championship to be contested on Tuesday and Wednesday. I feel for Pearson Hunt. I saw him the other day, incredibly, I shouldn't say incredibly frustrated. You know, he knows that there's good golf in him and he knows there's potentially good golf there. But boy, Greyhawk is playing a lot firmer, a lot faster than I remember playing last year when I trailed Harrison Ott on the same course. And it was not easy to keep the ball on the green. And then when you were around the green, trying to get up and down was a little bit of an adventure too. And so far, Pearson hasn't got it, but that's the beauty of college golf. You've got four teammates to carry you along until it's your turn to shine.
Yeah, and he certainly has contributed this year in a big way to the Illini. And I read your great piece on him the other day, Rob. I guess it was yesterday. And is he there was a cryptic little line in there about a swing change. Did he talk to you about what he's doing or exactly with his swing?
Not really. I mean, he just he said there's a bunch of little stuff. It seems like, you know, since he won the state amateur, he's been continually tweaking things. I know when I saw him at the Patriot All-American, he was in the middle of a lot of changes. And he feels those are starting to settle in there. You know, he had, you know, a couple of misses right, and he's a left-hander. I should say left as a left-hander, and where he pushed the ball into a bush and then also pushed the ball into a fairway bunker on 18 in the middle of his round. And those were the two holes that led to double bogeys on day one. So I think he's still trying to figure it out, but he's got a real solid short game. And again, you know, as you said, he's done a lot this year for the Illini. He came in playing the number four position. A lot of these guys interchangeable, you know, in the Fighting Illini lineup. And we've seen it already this week. Today, Tommy Kuhl, whose brother Pete played at the University of Wisconsin. Tommy with a 60. I'm sorry, that was today, 67. So it was a 67 they counted, with a 68, a 70, and a 71. So, and that was out of the number two spot. So yeah, they've got a good thing going there. It seems as though, you know, he's got, you know, Mike Small, I don't think he has any intention of pulling him for the alternate, because honestly, a 73 is pretty good. And the other day when he shot 74, pretty much every team in the top five had somebody that was at 73, 74 or worse. Again, the course just playing tough. Now, you know, and you look at it today, he had two double bogeys, a birdie, and then 15 pars. So I guess if you're Coach Mike Small, what you have to extrapolate is, you know, he's playing most of the holes pretty well. And as they start looking ahead to match play, because essentially this is a team qualifier, and, you know, what can Pearson Hunt bring to the table as being a tough out in a five-person match play situation against, you know, right now they'd be the number one seed against, there'd be a playoff for the number eight seed between defending, well, not defending national champion, but they were a match play qualifier last year in Vanderbilt, but top-ranked Vanderbilt and Florida State are currently tied at the A spot. So, you know, there's going to be a lot of scoreboard watching tomorrow. But you look at Gary, I mean, how would you extrapolate what Pearson's done from the standpoint of, you know, he plays each hole pretty well, and he's going to make a lot of pars, forcing somebody to make a lot of birdies to beat him. I'm not sure if that's quite the formula one. That's the positive side of it. The negative side is I think he's only got five birdies in 3 days. And you had Jackson Buchanan at the number five spot today, had five in his round of 68 alone.
Yeah, I think, you know, to be honest, you'd probably like to see a few more birdies out of Pearson if he were to go into match play. I think in match play, you know, you probably need to make some birdies. You're going to win some holes with pars, but not a lot of holes. So you need to make some birdies to win some holes, but, you know, maybe he'll figure it out, and maybe he can turn those double bogeys into bogeys and, you know, lower his score by two or three shots going forward here.
So we'll be back out there tomorrow to watch the Illini finish off the stroke play competition out of Greyhawk. And then we'll see. It's a tough juggling act right now, Gary, because as you know, I'm inside of 5 days from coming back for a month worth of golf coverage back in Wisconsin. And
yeah,
got a big, big week of high school golf, sectional golf taking place on Tuesday. And there's also, I think, two sectionals in Division I on Wednesday. And a lot of great stuff. We had, I think, six, seven guys break 70 at sectionals around the state, led by Kian Beistall Flores out of Cambridge with a 66 in the regional. And then a whole bunch of teams breaking 300. It just, everything is lower and lower and lower in high school golf. And, you know, I'm in the middle of the Division II preview that we'll post tomorrow. And the Northwest sectional is just loaded with great teams that have really shown great form. A couple kids from McDonald Central, Eau Claire Regis, that have been 1-2 in their conference, and they were 1-2 at the regional. You know, you look for, as a high school coach coaching those kids, for that kind of consistency. College coaches look for that kind of consistency, and teammates now look for that kind of consistency as we go into the sectional, because it's the top two teams and the top three individuals not on those teams. And Gary, you know, we've talked to in different settings here in the last few weeks about, you know, where the WIAA State High School Tournament falls in the landscape of, you know, great championships, you know, that we have in the state of Wisconsin. And I rank it right up there. I on the plane back for a meeting we had a couple weeks ago, I highlighted about maybe 15 WSGA Hall of Famers that have won high school state championships. And it's a tough tournament to get into. I can count as many great players that have not gotten into a state championship, even their senior year, as have. You know, there's a lot of factors that go into qualifying, and then there's just a lot of factors that go into playing well on basically four given days in the month of May and early June to you know, finish off a high school golf season. It's the time of year. It's the way the format of the championship and the tournament series. There's a lot about that WIAA State Championship that it makes it a difficult one to win.
Yeah, it certainly is. A who's who of a former champions who have won the WIAA State Tournament, Rob. We have motorcycles going past my house. If you hear that noise, it's Memorial Day, and all the bikers are out because the weather's great. But and you are coming back, not for sectionals. You do those remotely, though, yeah. Right? And then you'll be back for the state tournament, though.
Well, so here's how the week goes. Sectional is on Tuesday, which is the same day as the doubleheader for the, you know, potentially for Illinois at the NCAA championship for match play. And then Wednesday would be the finale. And they give the teams a break because of the TV window on Golf Channel. They don't actually start that until late morning and or early afternoon, so that the, you know, all the competition is in that TV window. And so, you know, I'll be trying to do the state tournament preview, wrap up the sectional, and potentially cover, you know, Pearson Hunt and his team at Illinois, you know, if they're still in the hunt for a national championship, before hopping a plane midday on Thursday to fly back, and then spend the weekend with my daughter up north and play a couple golf courses up there. And then we'll drive, and I'll meet Jim Kelsch over at Black Wolf Running Kohler late Sunday. And we get ready for the 2 days of the state high school championship, which hopefully will not contain the rain that it did on opening day last year.
What a crush, Rob. And then, yeah, June 5th, when the state tournament starts, I'll be at the Beauty and the Beast exhibition match at Geneva National, watching John Daly and Paige Spiranak. And that same day, we've got a 7 or 8 local qualifiers who are in final qualifying for the U.S. Open, and I'll be monitoring that. So, boy, we're going to be busy the next few weeks.
Yeah, it's going to be it's just nuts. And then I just looked at the WSGA schedule, gets underway with their first championship of the season, starting Thursday at the Bog in Saukville. It's the WSGA four ball championship. And, you know, it's always fun to see the various teams that are entered, and the combinations that, you know, a lot of high school kids, some college kids. I see Jacob Beckman and Ryan Smith from the University of Wisconsin will be teeing up. Of course, Jacob Beckman took a redshirt year for the Badgers this year, so this will be a big summer for him. Michael Addy and Sebastian Kaysen out of the Milwaukee area. Sebastian playing down at Loyola of Chicago. And Michael Addy just wrapped up his freshman year at Parkland Community College down in Champaign, Illinois. And his team finished second in the nation at the NJCAA Division II championships this past week. I believe that was in Indiana. And Michael played well for three of the four rounds, had a tough final round, but you know, he's a guy that's got a lot of potential as well. And then you just, you know, you just go up and down. A lot of these teams are teams that have been around for a long time, and a lot of them are ones that you know, they just happen to, you know, two guys that have openings on their summer schedule, and they say, hey, let's tee it up. And same with the Billy 60 in July. I noticed looking ahead to that one that there's a unique team in that one, in the Suter siblings, Grace and her brother Logan are currently on the entry sheet for that one. And you know, there's a lot of great ways, and we've seen it with I noticed on the U.S. Open qualifying at the local, a number of stories that came out on the wire, you know, of women who try to qualify for the U.S. Men's Open and at least get through to the sectional, because there's no better way to prove yourself than in that setting. And especially if you are able to get to that 36 hole thing, that you the longest day of golf, you know, coming up here a week from Monday. And, you know, it's a great opportunity to see where you stack up, whether it's against men or women or both, whatever it might be. And it's just so unique to see how these teams come together and how these and how every golfer that we cover, Gary, assembles their summer schedule.
Yeah. You know, Grace certainly will hold her own in that field. Does she have to play off the same tee, Rob, or does she get to move a tee up?
I think she probably does in that situation.
I think so too. Yeah. Otherwise it's kind of an unfair advantage. But yeah, so she'll certainly hold her own, and you're right. Some of those pairings and some of those teams are pretty cool. I keep thinking of, it wasn't the four ball, but in the best ball, I keep thinking of that team of Dr. Steve Paradise and John Palin, who just kicked butt for like 8 years in a row. I think right. They won like a million straight matches. Yeah. You get the right chemistry going with some of those teams, and they can be very hard to beat.
And didn't Mark Bumowski and Paul Zerichten, I mean, they played fairly well in the regular best ball. I know they cleaned up in the senior, but yeah, in a couple of occasions, and that's pretty cool. I also see we've got the Mequon Homestead throwback team of Charlie Malecki and Robbie Morway entered in this week's state best ball. You look at all these. You got a lot of, you know, like I said, a lot of college teammates, a lot of you know, high school teammates, and then just a lot of random you know, guys in the same hometown, same club, whatever it might be. And I mean, there's no sure. I mean, we heard at the meeting the other week, the WSJ meeting we were at, you know, just the waiting list that they have for some of the net partners and the senior tour stuff. And I have to imagine that's the same interest in things like the best ball. I know on the junior circuit, they've got a scrambled championship. I mean, that's just a lot of fun stuff there, and no shortage of opportunities to play competitive golf in Wisconsin, are there?
No, the brilliance of the WSJ schedule is that virtually anybody who wants to play tournament golf and feel the rush of competition can do it, because there's something for everyone. You know, 98% of the state's golfers are not good enough to play in the state amateur, but 99% of them are good enough to play in a scramble series or a net partner. So it's cool that everyone has a place to play in tournament golf in our state.
Here's a name that just popped out of the WSGA best ball thing as I sit here and comb through it for the first time. Hayden Beagle, his dad was my gym teacher at Wisconsin Rapids Lincoln. I'm sorry, his grandpa was my gym teacher at Wisconsin Rapids Lincoln. And Hayden played for a couple years with the Wisconsin Badgers before injuries cut short his career. And I believe, and his brother went on to play in the NFL. And he's playing with a 6.6 handicap with Caleb Schroer of Wisconsin Rapids, who's a plus 0.1. And again, you know, what an opportunity for those guys to get a taste of, you know, playing in the same field as I see Jack Schultz, former WSGA Player of the Year, teeing it up with Kevin Van Rossum. So a couple of guys, you know, that have held their own individually on the summer circuit. So I don't know, Gary, between Stricker's win and seeing the best ball field, I'm ready to go for the June coverage slate. And then we'll be back again in July for the State Am up over at Erin Hills. And then, of course, the State Open up at Century World a month and a half after the U.S. Senior Open. We have so much to look forward to. You've got a lot to write coming off your weekend. I've got a lot to write off the high school tournament. So yeah, Let's call it a podcast, and we'll reconvene next week when I'm somewhere back in far northern Wisconsin.
Excellent, Rob. Looking forward to hooking up with you at some tournaments in the next few weeks.
Sounds good. For Gary D'Amato, Rob Hernandez, this has been Talking.Golf, and we are presented by the 2023 American Family Insurance Championship in Madison. The 2023 AmFam Championship will be held June 9th through the 11th at University Ridge Golf Course in Madison. Tyler Hubbard, Maddie and Tay, and Drake White, all a bunch of great country music acts, will highlight activities away from the golf course with a concert at Ree Stevens Field on Friday night, June the 9th. That's the same day that tournament host Steve Stricker, coming off of his senior PGA championship here this weekend, and the top golfers on the PGA Tour champions will tee it up in the opening round of the 7th AmFam Championship. Tickets for all those events are on sale right now at AmFamChampionship.com. Since its debut in 2016, the AmFam Championship has raised $14.8 million for charities, with proceeds distributed by the Steve Stricker American Family Insurance Foundation. For Gary, I'm Rob. We'll talk golf again next week.